time. I'm going to kind of give you an idea of what the teens are going to be talking about this morning. The overall theme is what a teen wants. That's kind of the topic. And so as we were discussing this, Jake and I, that kind of started out as kind of a joke while we were eating breakfast one morning. He's like, you know that song by Christina Aguilera back in the day? What a girl wants, what a girl needs, that song? And I'm like, nope. Hey. What the heck? One condition. The man whose idea it was comes up here and does it with me. Come on, buddy. This is ridiculous.
I don't know the words, though. I know those words.
That's it. What a,
no, you know the rest.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs.
Okay, are you going to take the...
Whatever makes you happy.
We have to work on our melody. Are you going high or low? I'll go low.
Oh, you stink.
Okay. One.
Two.
Three.
What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes you happy sets you free.
I'm not thanking you for knowing exactly.
Yes! I don't even know what you said.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doesn't know the words, please. Holy cow. What was I even talking about? What a team. Okay, yeah. So as this, I wish I had never said anything. That did not happen. Like, I didn't tell that story in the other services. So we were talking, and kind of the idea was like, all right, so why should adults care about this particular topic? And really, the answer to that question is these teenagers, like the way they're portrayed, if you don't have teenagers or if you don't spend time around them, there's the stigma that's attached to this generation. And we want to show you the other side of the coin. We want you to be encouraged that what the media and other outlets portray the teens as and what they want, what's important to them, couldn't be further from the truth. That we talked about a remnant last week in Wentzville, and like these teenagers are that remnant of God and of his people that are going to change this world. So I didn't grow up in a youth group. I can honestly stand here and tell you that I never attended like not one youth service growing up. But these students, they have amazing influences around their life. They have godly influences around their life. And just right now, if you serve in the youth ministry, would you please stand up? I did a Google search. This kind of happened by accident just a few days ago. And you know how, like, when you're searching for something on Google, it'll give you, like, the suggestions that drop down in the bottom to try to, like, speed up your search experience, right? So I don't know what I was doing, man. I was looking for, like, a video or something. And so I started typing in, this generation is. And the top eight suggestions like to go with what this generation is really kind of surprised me. So the first one is this generation is brainwashed. This generation is so judgmental. This generation is weak. This generation is stupid. This generation is so stubborn. Yeah, that's probably true. But this generation is doomed. This generation is lazy. This generation is the worst. I know better. I know better because I have the unique privilege, and any adult that serves in the youth ministry has the unique privilege of knowing that what this generation is being portrayed as is completely wrong. This generation is passionate. This generation cares. This generation is tired of the Jesus that's being sold to them in the media and through other outlets that I talked about. This generation is tired of old, stale faith of their parents, and they're going after the real Jesus, and they're going after real world change, and they want to change people's lives, and that's what they're here for. So it's my hope that through this service and hearing the message that God has laid on these students' hearts, that you will walk away encouraged at what this generation has to offer, and also challenged at what we can do as adults to help them. So the first student I want to introduce to you, I've known for the past 3 years. He's a junior, and this is what's cool. What I love about this guy is, like, he started coming to youth group. His parents weren't attending church. His brother wasn't attending church. Like, it just wasn't a part of their lives. And through what God has done in his life, like, his whole family now is here at Journey Church and living for God. So I'm going to give him an opportunity to come up here and talk now. This is Daniel Williamson. Get him.
Although that song that Corey and Jake sang was funny, I am still a little disappointed, not at them singing, but after the icebreaker, I came to the conclusion that my little brother has a deeper voice than me. So he also can grow more facial hair than me, so that's a little... Well, like Corey said, I'm Daniel. I'm a proud member of Journey Church and a proud member of Journey Youth. And I'm just glad to have the opportunity to come up here and share what God put on my heart. When I first heard we were doing the youth takeover service, I was a little hesitant to kind of jump the gun and tell Corey I want to speak. But I prayed about it because I spoke at last year's youth takeover service. And I wanted to give other students a chance to come up here and speak. But I prayed about it and what a teen wants. And the word guidance continued to pop up in my head. And so I think because it was very frequent, it continued to pop up in my head. And so because of that, I think God wanted me to share a message on guidance. And so I asked Corey, like, can I still preach or speak? And he said, yeah, it's yours. So yeah. The main scripture I'm going to be talking about today is Romans 12:2. And I'm going to split Romans 12:2 into kind of three different points. In Romans 12:2 is, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When I first read that, the first part kind of stuck out. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Really stuck out to me because I'm a teen. Teens are so easily moldable. And, you know, I just walk down the hall and I'm influenced by the behavior and customs of this world. Like, I walk down the hall at school and hear about how this dude got wasted at a party, or what this girl did to a guy at that party, or what he did to her at a party, you know? And the scripture is just telling us not to copy those behavior and customs. But I mean, on the other hand, I go to youth every Wednesday. I go to church every Sunday, and I try to hang out with my friends in Christ weekly, if not more. And I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal saying I'm more holy or righteous than anyone. I'm just saying, you know, I see both sides. I see God's behavior and customs, and I see this world's behavior and customs. And the point is we're influenced by voices in our lives, whether that's God's voice or behavior and customs, or it's this world's voice or behavior and customs. We're always hearing something, and it's hard to tell what to listen to. And this is where we rely on God to show us his will for our life. I think sometimes, well, at least I wish sometimes God would come out and be the burning bush like he was for Moses. Tell him exactly what he wants, you know? And God doesn't always do that. You know, if he does it to you, please, I'd love to hear it. But for the most part, God speaks to us through different people and situations in our lives. And to distinguish God's voice from the customs and behavior of this world, you have to spend time with him. You know, you can't recognize someone's voice unless you spend a long enough time with them. And I think this is where the second part of Romans 12:2 comes in. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You can't change the way you think like you change a tire. It's the experiences that you go through that change the way you think. You know? Like, for example, I play football, and I learned self-discipline. I learned, motivation. I learned teamwork, you know, and there's a bunch of other principles I learned by playing football. But I learned those because of the experience I had playing football. It's the experience that changed the way I thought that I learned those principles. And going back to Romans 12:2, I think if the way we think is changed, then we'll start looking at situations in our life differently. We'll start seeing in God in situations that we didn't see him in before. We'll start hearing God in situations that we didn't think he was speaking to us in before. But we've got to recognize that voice. Opportunities to listen to God are everywhere. I mean, God could speak to us through a person, a situation, a prayer. God spoke to me during a car wreck, you know, and it's not anything huge. But I mean, it was... All right, so let me set this up. It's the night before school, and the weatherman's calling for, like, sleet, kind of snowy conditions, like, at 4 a.m. So I'm like, awesome, school's canceled tomorrow for sure. And so I get up in the morning, check to see if it says Troy, and it doesn't. And I'm like, oh, crap. And so I get ready, and I head out the door, and I start heading to the high school. And I can take two ways to get to the high school. I can take 47, or I can take a shortcut. And I normally take the shortcut because there's less people. You know, I figure it'd be safer because there's less people, and I can sleep in more because it's shorter. But as I'm approaching, like, the fork in the road, I kind of, like, get this sense, just stay on 47. Stay on 47. And I was like, oh, that's weird, and I just went on the shortcut. Didn't think anything of it at the time. And as it turns out, the roads on the shortcut weren't plowed as well as they were on 47, and I ended up drifting out of my lane and hitting this girl's car. Nobody got hurt. Insurance didn't get involved. Just a little fender bender, but I still had to pay for the dent, and I'm still super upset because now I'm going to be late for school. And I pride myself on being a good driver, and then I get in a car accident, and then, you know, it just was not a good way to start off the day, you know? And later in the day, when I had a chance after school and everything, when I had a chance to reflect on the situation, I realized that God talked to me before I took that shortcut, you know? I wouldn't have realized that it was God speaking to me if I hadn't been trying to recognize his voice and spend time with him. And that experience that I went through changed the way I thought, you know? And I obviously need some work on listening to God's voice because I heard it. That's a plus, but I didn't listen to it. Another key in listening for God's voice is patience. You know, in today's world, we get answers like that. I have a question about math, go to my algebra teacher. I have a question about the Bible, I'll go to my youth pastor. You have a question about just about anything, you can go on the internet and get answers in seconds. But, you know, what if we have to wait a week for an answer, or a month, or a year, or even more for an answer? God's answers don't work on our time schedule. They work on His. And so patience is a huge key on listening for His voice. God wants to give us guidance and wants us to take His path. But to learn that path, we've got to do exactly what it says before it says then. We've got to, if we don't conform, if I don't conform and I change the way I think, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The key word in that scripture is then. Key word in that scripture is then. So the outline or theme of this service is what a teen wants. And I know to some parents or adults in this room, it may not seem like teens really pay attention because we're always on our phones or we're like wanting to take the car out and get out of the house. But we watch you guys. You influence us more than you might think. And you guide us more than you might think, whether it's by example or it's by telling us something. You guide us. And a great example of listening to God's guidance was when a woman came up to me after one Sunday, and she had a dream about me. Never talked to her. Maybe said hi to her once or twice during the 2 minutes. She said she had a dream about me. And she said she didn't, well, from what I remember of it, she said that she doesn't remember the specifics or doesn't remember any details about it, but she said that God wanted me to come tell you that whatever hardship you're facing right now, whatever you're going through, that it's going to be all right. And at the time when she walked off, I was like, man, that was awfully nice of her to do that. But when I reflected on it and really thought about it, those words were super encouraging. You know, it helped me get out of, for lack of better words, kind of funk I was in as a Christian. You know, it was so encouraged. Something as simple as, it's going to be okay. You know? My point is, guys, is don't ignore that voice. Don't underestimate that power and weight that adults' words carry when they're talking to teens. It could get someone out of a funk. It could save someone from a car crash. And by the way, guys, I meant to thank her. Thank you, Connie. That was the woman who came up to me and told me the dream she had. And, you know, it could get someone out of a funk. It could keep someone from getting in a car crash. It could change a life. Don't underestimate the power behind your guys' words. We need your guidance. One last thing I wanted to say about this scripture that I think is so cool is, like, we've been talking in the Invisible War series. The devil just doesn't want to see us fall. He wants to see it. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy us. You know? What I think is so cool about this is it shows how God's will is in our lives. His will isn't just a better option. It isn't just nice. His will in our lives is good and pleasing and perfect. And if we're following God's will, there's not a chance that the devil's will take its course in our lives. But we have to remember then. Thank you, guys. That's what God put on my heart.
I've never gotten a standing ovation. And just for the record, they might start running people out of here, so... I'm going to stop singing. But I just want to say that Daniel is actually a very good driver, okay? I locked my keys in my office a couple weeks ago, and he had to drive me home. It was kind of embarrassing. Like, hey, is it cool if I get a ride? You know? But
But I have never felt more safe in a vehicle than when he was driving. And I don't know if you drive like that all the time. I mean, maybe it was just because I was riding shotgun. I don't know. But anyway, with that being said, I want to introduce our next speaker. This is another student that I've been, you know, privileged to be able to spend the past 3 years as her youth pastor, seeing her grow and mature and develop these God-given gifts and abilities, this talent that God has given her, and to take that and use it to glorify Him and make sacrifices personally to be able to use her gifts and abilities to glorify Him has been inspiring. And I'm just really excited to see what God has for you in the future and what God is going to do through this message today. So, without further ado, I didn't see your name yet. Allie Miller!
Hello, hello. How's it going? It's good to see you guys again. Sometimes I sing on the worship team and you just hear like my, ah, but you don't get to like, I don't get to talk to all you guys, so this is kind of a cool experience. Before I get into what I'm going to say, I'm just going to pray real fast. So, dear God, I just thank you so much for today and for the past year services. I know that you moved, God, and I pray in this service you would just move our hearts again. And I pray that the words that I say wouldn't be my words and they wouldn't come from me, but God, they come straight for you, and that I'd just be listening to what you want to say to me so I could say it to your people, to your church. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever heard the term from the outside looking in? From the outside, yeah. I'm going to give you guys a view. I'm going to start off getting from the inside looking out. So as a teen, in my little circle and culture of teens, from the inside, I want to give you guys an inside view. And I was thinking about, I was preparing for the message, and one of the main things I think the world tells us is we just need to fit in. You are a puzzle piece. If you picture a puzzle piece, there's all these curves and edges, and you have just a spot where you just fit. There's a puzzle, and you have a little spot cut out, and you're a puzzle piece, and you need to fit in. We want to be told that we're unique, and we're pretty, and we're different, but we still need to fit. So we do this by dressing cool, by talking cool. We were at Corey's, and when we took a missions trip to New York, they used really cool lingo. They said mad cool, like, man, that's mad cool. And we're like, like Missouri people, that's so cool. You know, we use lingo to fit in. We dress cool. You know, we got the cool shoes, the cool shirt. We just want to fit. We want a spot where we can be like, you know, I belong. So going along with the lingo, one word that I think is used a lot today is haters. You guys know what haters are? Have you ever heard the word haters? Yeah, haters. Haters gonna hate, you know. As teens, we're always talking about don't let the haters get you down. Like, haters gonna hate. Ignore the haters, blah, blah, blah. And it drives me insane because we act like haters don't bug us. And, you know, haters gonna do this. Don't listen to the haters. But if they didn't bug us, then we wouldn't spend so much time talking about them. We wouldn't spend so much time kicking them in the face, you know. Miley Cyrus. Does anyone know who that is? We can't stop. Never mind. She, in her song, she sings, only God can judge ya, forget the haters, cause somebody loves ya. We're always talking about haters, and it drives me insane because they really do get to us. And I was thinking, and I was like, well, haters, are, you know, we should just ignore them. And what are haters in our culture anyways? But Mom was watching Beth Moore, and if you don't know who Beth Moore is, she's just really awesome. She's a speaker. She speaks on everything, and I love listening to her. But anyways, Mom was watching her on TV, and she was talking about scoffers. You know, like when you scoff, you're like, ah, like when Jesse scoffs, he makes like that noise, and it's like, it's so gross. They're like scoffers. It's like, ah, you know what I'm talking about? Like, scoffers, how dare you? And they're in the Bible. If you would look at 2 Peter 3:3, it talks about scoffers, and it should be up. Should be up on the thing, if I can find it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Exodus, and Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. I had it marked.
I found it.
It says, first, I want to remind you that in the last days, there will be scoffers who will laugh at the truth and do every evil thing they desire. There will be scoffers, like, how dare you? And Mom was watching that, and I'm thinking of my message, and I'm like, scoffers are haters. Haters are in the Bible. That's so cool. So, I mean, this happens. It happened then. It happens now. So just, I guess, an example of scoffers is imagine little junior high Allie, you know, like go down a few inches and frizz up my hair and I have glasses and braces and I'm like, it's like bad. And I would walk into a room and it was just like, we're talking about spiritual warfare and the devil would start, he'd start firing his flaming arrows at me like, and the devil is the ultimate scoffer. The devil is the ultimate hater. So I would walk into this room with these people around, and he'd start, and I would just get bombarded like, why are you here, Allie? Like, you look so stupid. Don't say anything. It always comes out silly. Like, you're not good enough. They don't like you. You need to go home. And I would just like, wah! You know, it's so scary. But then there'd be that one person that would change it all. There'd be somebody in a room, and they would just turn around, and they would make eye contact, and they'd be like, hey. You know, if they knew me, they'd be like, hey, Allie Miller, how's it going? You know, how's your day? Or even if they didn't know, they'd be like, well, you know, what's your name? Is it your first time here? That kind of thing. And it totally made it from it was me against the room, and now I was a part of the room. They accepted me. They're like, I got your back. You know, I'm here for you. You're part of this. And that's kind of my word for today. What a teen wants, what a teen wants is acceptance. We try so hard to fit in and to find our spot, but really we just want to be accepted. We just want to be in. And in youth groups, which is, I want you guys to know that I'm talking about all this stuff and all this culture, like all this fit in, but there is hope for my generation. The first thing that comes from, that I think of when I think of hope for my generation is youth groups and church groups where teens are just getting together and we're working on like accepting teens and we don't want to listen to the world like you need to fit in. We're trying to reach out to each other. We're trying to be that person. And even outside of youth groups, we are not a lost generation. Corey read all those things, and I want you guys to know that we are not lost. We're not. And I'll tell you why. We're told that we're done for, that we're lazy, we're selfish, we're rude, we're distracted, we lack passion. Don't tell me that we lack passion. That makes me so angry. We do not lack passion. There are kids who are passionate about their cell phones. Yes, cell phones and teenagers. Cell phones, I mean, every couple months I have to go and delete like Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, Vine, because it's just, I just constant connection. I just want it so bad. We're passionate about Facebook, Twitter. We're passionate about our boyfriends and girlfriends. Oh, we're passionate about music. We're passionate. There are girls who are passionate about One Direction, the British boy band. Yeah. But I think at the root of that, I think it's just a want to connect. We're not really passionate about our phones. We're not really passionate about One Direction. We just want to connect with other teens. We want to find other people who like the stuff we do. We want to be accepted, you know? We kind of want to fit in. So where that, we have passion and we have a want, but we need someone to guide us. Daniel talked about guidance. We need someone to direct our passion, to even find our passion, to be like, hey, I know there's something you really like. What is it? And that's my challenge to you guys, is to find our passion, channel it. And it might seem scary, but there's a profile that our culture has created. You remember, well, of course you do, I just said it, the puzzle piece. You know, everyone's a puzzle piece, and they all just have a spot where they just need to fit in. It's this spot, and it sounds like such a beautiful analogy, but I want everyone to forget the puzzle piece. The puzzle piece is a lie. Because if we have a God that we serve and that we are going out for, God is a God that no one can put boundaries on. No one can say there's a spot for you because there isn't. No one can outline a spot because the Bible said, "What no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has for those who love him." No one can tell you that you're just this predetermined spot. And that's your job to tell us that you're not a puzzle piece. You should never fit in. You will never fit if you have God behind you because you have no idea where he can take you. That's what we're longing to hear. And I know it might seem scary. It might kind of freak you out to go up and approach people. And I can totally relate to that because, you know, it's you think it's awkward. You're like, they don't want to talk to me. Like, it's just kind of weird, you know? But when I think about that, like, I can't relate to them. I don't know them. But Jesus, I mean, he was perfect. Like, can you you talk about people that can't relate? Jesus was perfect, and he's out talking to prostitutes and, you know, just all these people who are just, you know, low in God. And Jesus is God, but he's like going and he's reaching out because he has had heartache. You know, he had friends die, and he's gone through stuff so he can relate, you know, to pain. And he's just like, hey, I got your back. And sometimes in church, you know, when we're in church and we're worshiping, like, it's just an awesome worship set, or you're listening to a really great message, or you're reading the Bible and you're just getting so much. You're just, like, eating. You're like, yes, God, this is so good. You're just, like, getting fed. It's so easy to just want to stay there. You know, in my group of youth friends, I love these guys so much, and it's so easy to just stay there, to just be like, okay, I'm good here, I'm comfortable here, you know, I don't need anything else. I have, all, you know, God's speaking to me, but God tells us to go out. He tells us to get out of our comfort zone. We're not supposed to stay here because that's selfish. It's scary, but we have to do it. The next little passage I have is Deuteronomy 30:12. In chapter 29, it talks about what God would do to the Israelites if they ever turned against him. You know, Moses is bringing the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and God was speaking through Moses and saying, if you ever, you know, worship a false god, then I'll rain down fire on you like Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, I'll destroy you. And it's so scary reading about it. You're like, what? But in chapter 30, God talks about, in chapter 30, verse 4, he said, though you are at the ends of the earth, because he had scattered them everywhere, or he would, though you are at the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will go and find you and bring you back again. The Lord your God will go and find you and bring you back again. No matter what they did, God would go and find them and bring them back again. God's love is relentless. He said, no matter what you do, I'm going to accept you. I'm going to bring you in. I'm going to go and find you. And imagine little junior high Allie again walking into this room, and I'm just so scared. And God was the one that looked through those people. You know, he's behind all those people, and he's looking for me. And he finds me, and he goes up to me, and he's like, hey, Allie, I got your back. I don't care what you smell like. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you did. I got your back. Deja vu, by the way, just now. That's so weird. But God's like, I got your back. I got your back, Allie. And you might be like, whoa, Allie, God did not do that because Jesus has not been on this earth in your lifetime. Yes, he did. He did it through someone. And that's what God is calling us to do. By taking teens, and not just teens, taking anybody and just going up to them, just something as simple as, hey, how are you? I got your back. Or being like, what are you going through? How can I pray for you? You're letting them know that you accept them and that God does too. So that's what I have for you guys. Thanks.
Deja vu really isn't that weird in this situation because you have preached this three times. I like Vuja Day better, the feeling that none of this has ever happened before. That was lame. But you still laughed. Thank you. So our third and final speaker, yes, I'm going to tell this story again, but don't worry, no short jokes, okay? Whatever. So this next young man, just like the other two, minus the man with Allie, I've had the privilege of knowing for 3 years, I met this guy at one point in time a couple years ago. I was or a few years ago now, I guess. Holy cow! I was the high school's football team's chaplain, and so after practice one time, this short baby face, you know, beardless kid comes walking up to me and starts talking about church. Like, he approached me and, you know, talking about God and the influence in his life and how he wants to be in church and this and that. So I'm telling him about Journey. I'm telling him about Journey Youth and all this and that. And the kid didn't even come for another year. So I don't know what the heck took him so long. He lives like right down the road. It was insane. But anyway, just seeing his growth, seeing his maturity, just like Allie, just like Daniel, and seeing him not just being changed and growing in God, but seeing him growing others and helping to change others is just evidence of the Spirit's work in his life. And I'm really excited about what he's got to say today and to see what the future has for him. And his name is Tommy Lee.
What's up, guys? So, someone make a short joke? Yeah, I'm not up. Got it. Cool. Corey said something about me being beardless. I don't think I've ever been beardless. Might have been blonde at one point, but there's always been something. Facial hair. So, we're going to start off in Joshua 24... 14, and I do apologize that I don't have anything on the screen for you guys. I've been super undecisive about how I'm going to represent what God has put on my heart. So we're reading in Joshua 24:14, like I said. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites and in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So it talks about the gods of our forefathers before us and the gods of the Amorites from whose land we are living. So I'm going to kind of break that down into two sections. Talk about the gods of the Amorites from whose land we live in, which can be related to this culture. We live in this culture, you know, where people are worshiping different things. They're focusing on different things. All these things are held to be important. And as a teen, those things are like, you know, doing good in school so I can go to a good college, so I can get a good job, so I can raise a family, you know, and I'm supposed to do that. That's what we do. This America thing has been going for a while, and that's what we've realized is important, right? Those are the things that we focus on, that those become our gods. Those are the gods of America, success, money, you know? And then also in these verses, it talks about the gods of our forefathers, the things that our forefathers held to be important. They held to be worthy of worship. We're teenagers. We kind of rebel by nature. We don't want to do what our parents want us to do. We're at this crucial age where we're old enough to know what we want, but not old enough to do it responsibly or go about it the right way. You know, we're at this age where we've still got this passion of being youthful and somewhat maturity that comes with experience of, you know, just being alive, and that causes us to just rebel. We want to do what we want to do. So as far as the gods of our forefathers and the gods of the Amorites, you know, the people of from whose land we live in, we don't want to follow either one of those. First of all, the gods of our society are shallow. You know, the success, this money thing, in the end, that's not going to matter. The gods of our forefathers, we don't want to follow those because of our nature. You know, that leaves the one true God, you know, our God. And we're talking about teenagers and, you know, what teenagers want. I'm not really talking about what teenagers want, because in reality, I don't think we want to do this. But what we need to do is make the hard choice and choose God. That's what teenagers need to choose, because we've got all these choices being thrown at us, you know, of just distractions of how we're supposed to live our life. And in the end, that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is if we chose God. In the end, it's not going to matter how hard it was. It's only going to matter whether we did or didn't choose God. And kind of relating this to an analogy, it's, you know, imagine trying to screw a screw into a wall, and you're just going to hang up a picture or whatever, and you're trying to do that with a hammer, trying to use a hammer for what it wasn't meant to do, and you're going to run into problems, right? Right? All right. So imagine we actually tried to use a screw to do this. It'd be a lot easier. It'd work probably the way you wanted it to, and things would be dandy, you know? Us, as humans, we were put on this earth for God, to experience Him, His love, His companionship. That's what He wanted from us. That is our purpose. When we try to live this life apart from God, apart from the way that He created us to, that's when we run into problems, right? I mean, Journey Church, guys, we hold a reputation for being a little messed up sometimes. You know, we know that choosing to not live a life of God causes problems. Man, you fall into addictions, you fall into depression, you fall into all these crazy things that aren't God, that aren't joy. And when I say that we need to choose God, the reason He created us, it's not just something that we should do because it's right, but He created us to choose Him, and it's not like we're getting a bad deal, you know? For those of us who have been around and been choosing God, how many of you can say that your life is happy? You love life. You love waking up every day. You know, things get hard. Things get tough. I'm not making this seem like it's easy. But the hard times are so much more worth it when you're living for God, guys. When you choose God, you're choosing love. When you choose God, you're choosing to turn that cheek and say, come on, world. I'm ready. I've got God by me, you know? When you're choosing God, I just want to say love again, because that's what it is. You know, I was struggling with this. I wanted to say what teenagers want is love. But I feel like if I say anything about God, that's what I'm doing. You know, we want love. We need love, and we need to make a choice whether or not we're going to choose love or not. And God is love. You know, growing up, you know, my dad died, and my mom kind of struggled to make the right choice for my sisters and I. And the way things were going with my family, like I was kind of be, you know, maybe a pothead. I may not have finished high school and stuff, and I'm doing successful in high school, and I'm not a pothead. And so it's like the way things have gone, I was just gonna be probably another statistic. College was gonna be, I should have done that, you know, whatever, do something else, whatever. And I can say, man, the choices that people have made around me and the choices that I'm making for God, for this love, not this magical man in the sky, this real living God, I'm going to change the world. And not by my own accord, not by things that I'm capable of, but through Him. You know, and that's what God put on my heart is to choose God. And we all have to make this choice individually, but we're not doing it alone. We are all in this together. We are one body of Christ. That's what God put on my heart.
You love these guys or what? You know, I just want to take a couple minutes just to kind of close out this service. And I just want to tell you guys that, you know, everything you heard here, you know, your influence works. You know, the whole idea behind, you know, what teens want. I could stand up here. Corey could stand up here. Jesse could stand up here and tell you, you know, teens want discipline. Teens want connection, communication with you guys. But we wanted them to tell you that. And unlike Corey, you know, I grew up in church. I am a church kid. I was a youth group kid. And so I know, I'm living proof that your influence works. And I'm not just talking to the parents. You get that, right? This is to everybody out there, all the adults. because they're going to remember your names. You know, I have memories. I have detailed, you know, memories of people that I grew up in church with, like some of the older people, like Lester Casper. Right, Sabrina? Lester Casper was an old dude. God rest his soul. He was a farmer. His hands were huge. So when he walked into the lobby and shook your hand, you know, to a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, your hand got lost. You know what I'm saying? It was more than a handshake. You know, he'd pull you in and give you a little quip about his life, what he was going through, something in his past. But he would always, you know, he always did the shooter thing to the sky, like giving, everything was about giving praise and glory to God. And that's how he lived his life. That's the influence he had on me. And there's countless other stories I could tell about adults, you know, above and beyond my parents that influenced me and influenced the way I raise my boys, influenced the way I try to be a youth pastor to your students, because your faith works. But please, never forget that. If you're in middle school or high school, I want you to come up here. If you're going to make me get up here and sing, you're going to get up in front of everybody too. Give it up for your teenagers. So fill in. Get in the light, everybody. Come on. Okay, now study these faces. These people behind me are valuable. Do you believe that? They have value. Your guidance is necessary. Your acceptance of them is needed, because your faith will work in their lives. Amen? You guys, see these people behind me? They are valuable. They are valuable. Their guidance, you need. Their acceptance, you're going to want, because sometimes you're not going to find it anywhere else. Because your faith is going to be affected by how their faith is working in their life. Right? Tommy, why? Why is this connection important, Tommy?
We're all in this together.
Say louder.
We're all in this together.
You believe that we're all in this together, right? This is a family, right? Stand up with us. You give it up for all these guys that helped out, being ushers, cafe, worship team, communion, all that stuff. All the extra, the lack of sleep. We just, on behalf of Journey Youth and Journey Church, want to say we love you guys. We hope you're blessed. Thanks for coming to the Journey Youth Takeover. Thank you for allowing us to let it, you know, allow us to do it again. And before you go, find one of these guys, encourage.
And that they're worth your time. You let them know that Jesus loves them too. And Jesus, and they're worth Jesus's time. And that's what I got for you guys today. So.
So here's to not fitting in, right? I love that. So we've got one more speaker for you, and once again, he's another junior. I promised him I wouldn't make any short jokes. See what I did there? Okay. Anyway, he's a junior. He's another student. I tell this story about Tommy because I love this story, like how I met him. I was the football team's chaplain a couple years ago. He was a freshman, and I saw this short, you know, cute little baby-faced little guy. It was before he was able to grow a beard, I think, or maybe he just had a little stubble. I don't know. But he approached me. You know what I'm saying? Started talking to me about church and how he, you know, wants to get involved and blah, blah, blah. And then I don't see the kid for a year. I'm like, he didn't show up until he was a sophomore. But I've known him, been able to hang out with him and hear his heart. And I know that God is going to use him in incredible ways. And I'm really excited to see not just Tommy, but you know, all of these students, like what the future holds for them. But anyway, here's Tommy Lee.
I think Corey told that story a little inaccurately. I don't think I've ever been able to not grow a beard. I don't know. I think I came out with a beard. Maybe it's his old age that causes him to, you know, remember things incorrectly. Yeah, short jokes. So I want to start in, where'd my bookmark go? Well, that's inconvenient. All right, so I just want to start off in the verse. Sorry, I don't have it up there for you guys. I've been super indecisive about how I'm going to represent what God wants to, want me to say, what's on my heart. So in Joshua 24:14, it says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So I kind of want to break that into two sections. It talks about the gods from who our forefathers served and the gods of the Amorites, the land from which we live in, served. And I want to talk about the gods of our forefathers first. We as teenagers, we kind of naturally rebel. You know, we're at this crucial age where we're old enough to know what we want, but not quite old enough to get it. You know, we've still got this youthful passion, but we've got this motivation and this, you know, somewhat experience to know how to get what we want. It's a pretty difficult age, you know, and so we naturally wanting to rebel. We don't want to follow these gods, and by gods I mean the things that we worship, because you know that's really what it is. Whatever you put your focus on, your attention on, that's your gods, you know. And so as teenagers, we don't want to do what the adults want us to do. We kind of want to do our own thing, you know. We want to rebel. That's what we do. And so we don't want to follow the gods of our forefathers. We don't want to follow the ways of our forefathers because we're teens. You know, we want to do what we want to do. And then later it talks about the gods of the Amorites, the gods of the land from which we live in. And those are, you know, in this culture as a teen, the things that we're supposed to worship and focus on are doing good in school, getting good grades so we get into a good college, get into a good college so we get a good job that makes good money, be semi-happy, you know. And then we're supposed to have a good family. And Ali said this last night, and this was great. And we're supposed to retire to Florida and then spoil our grandkids and stuff. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's life, right? That's what matters. And no, I don't like that. That's not what I want to do. I want to load up a backpack, pick a direction, and walk. That's what I want to do. And that's what society doesn't want us to do. And those are the gods. Those are the worship, the things that we're supposed to worship on as teens. That's not the things that we were created for. We weren't created to live this semi-happy life. We weren't created to live this life of trying to fulfill desires. We've got this hole in our heart, and only God can fill that. And unless God is at our center of attention, we're gonna put anything in that hole that we can to satisfy this hunger. And I thought about this analogy, and it's like, imagine you're trying to, you know, you're hanging up a picture or something, and you're trying to screw in a screw to the wall, like I said, to hang up this picture. But instead of using a screwdriver, you use a hammer, and you're just sitting there trying to screw in this screwdriver with a hammer. That's not going to work. That's not what it was created for. And similar to us trying to live our own life apart from God, apart from our purpose, we're going to run into problems. So unless we start to be that screwdriver living for our purpose, we're going to run into all kinds of problems, guys. So as teenagers, I'm not really talking about what we want, because in reality, I don't think we want to do this, but I'm talking about what we need to do. And as teenagers and as people, we need to make a choice. We can choose to follow the gods of our forefathers. You know, we can choose to follow these shallow idols and these things that don't really matter in the end. We can choose to follow these things that society says are important, you know, money, success. And in the end, these aren't the things that matter either. The things that matter are the choices that we make for God. Because in the end, that's all that's going to matter. It doesn't matter how hard it is either. I read this or heard this or something somewhere. In the end, it doesn't matter how hard it was. It's only going to matter whether you did or didn't do it. And I think about, you know, when I'm standing in front of God and he's asking me, you know, about my life and the things that I did. And you know, we talk about sin and stuff. It's like, you know, God, man, it was really hard. I couldn't not do that. You know, that girl was really pretty, or I really, you know, something as simple as I really wanted that extra greasy burger that wasn't good for me. You know, it's really hard. But in the end, that's not what matters. It matters whether I chose him or not. And so we need to make that choice. Choose to live for God and choose to, and it's not going to be easy, guys, but choose to live for God and what he wants for us and be that, you know, be that screwdriver and live the way he wanted, or choose to follow these idols, you know, when in the end it's not going to mean anything at all. And kind of a short message, guys, but that's kind of what God put on my heart, is just to choose God. Because, man, throughout my life, I don't think I was, okay, of course I wasn't meant to, but like, I didn't grow up in a house of God, really. I grew up and things were hard, you know. I was kind of supposed to be a pothead, I think. I wasn't supposed to really go to high school or finish high school. And throughout my life, like, because of the choices that other people were making in my life, I came to know God. And because of those choices, like, the choices that people around me have made and the choices that I'm starting to make for God, for my purpose, like, I know I'm going to get to change the world now, you know, because of simple choices, man. That's what it comes down to. And because of those choices, like, my life is completely changed. I will get to change the world. I will get to help other people change the world and, you know, help get rid of this thing called sin because of God. So that's what God put on my heart.
Give it up one more time for these guys. You know, I'm honored to be able to close out the service. You kind of heard Corey talk at the beginning when he was introducing these guys that he didn't grow up as a church kid. He didn't grow up in youth group, but I had the exact opposite experience growing up that he did. You know, I was a church kid since I was like 4 years old. So I was a youth group kid. And let me tell you that your influence is important. Okay? And the idea behind the whole theme of, you know, what a teen wants is, you know, Jez, he can get up here and do a family series and talk about, you know, teenagers want discipline. They want, you know, to talk and they want to connect. And Corey can get up here and do the same thing. But we wanted you to hear it from them. And I can tell you from my experience that it works. You know, I can remember, you know, people that I grew up in the church, you know, that I went to when from a kid, you know, people that are long gone now, like Lester Casper. I mean, this guy was old. You know, the old farm guy, his hands were huge. When we came up for a handshake, you know, to a 13, 14, 15-year-old, you know, your hand gets lost in there. You know what I'm saying? But he would do more than just shake your hand. You know, he would pull you in and, you know, tell you a story or something's going on in his life. And then he would always end by pointing, you know, he always did the shooter. You know what I'm talking about, Denise? Like, he's always pointing to heaven. Like, no matter what he was talking about, at the end, all glory to God. And I remember that. That affected me. And, you know, I'm glad they're here. I didn't ask to do this. But right here, if you look over here, Tim and Denise Montgomery, they just joined Journey in the past year. But I grew up in the church that they served in, and they were committed. And they might not, you know this, I might have never told you guys this, but just watching them and their commitment to serving, and their commitment, you know, to God is inspiring. It's something that, you know, I noticed. Like these guys said, we notice these things. And you're never going to see Tim up here with a microphone in his hand, you know, walking back and forth, you know, preaching a sermon, but the dude serves. And we see that, you know what I'm saying? And that affects the way that I relate to students. That affects that I relate and try to teach my boys, because it works. If you're in here and you're in 6th, 7th, 8th, high school, you guys come up here. I want all the teenagers up here. Let's end like this. Give it up for your teenagers. Philip, right here. Squeeze in there, getting the light. Okay. So you see these guys behind me? Look at their faces, study them. These people are valuable. Your guidance is necessary. Your acceptance is definitely needed because it works. Your faith will work in affecting their life. You guys, see these people behind me? They are valuable. You need their guidance. You're going to want their acceptance because your faith is going to be affected by how their faith works. You know what I'm saying? So seek it out. Go after it. And why is this connection important? Tommy, what's the one point you left out?
We're all in this together.
That's it. We're all in this together, right? We are a family here, right? Amen. You guys stand up with us. Can you give it up for these guys one more time? Our ushers, our greeters, our sound guy. You know, on behalf of Journey Youth, I just want to say thanks for coming today. I hope you're blessed with what you guys heard and experienced. And we love you guys, and we'll see you next week. Before you leave.